Blog Talk Radio.
Hi, everybody. Welcome to Jay's Dark Zone. Today, we're going to talk about the Haunted Cemetery, Bachelor's Grove. Living in Chicago, I visited this cemetery a couple times with my friends, and I can tell you, it is very spooky. It's in Midlothian, and you walk down a long path, like a forest path. It has a no drive-through sign that says, and you go right through, and it just has like a whole bunch of tombstones and all broken up because people vandalized a long time ago. And there's also reports of gangsters dumping bodies in there, and a ghost car, and a ghost house. I have a documentary I want to show it to you, and I'll comment why I would watch the documentary. Okay, here we go.
President of the Ghost Research Society, located in Oaklawn, Illinois. I've been involved in ghost research since 1975. I started a group called the Ghost Trackers Club back in 1977 and worked for 5 years as a research assistant with that group until taking over as president until 1982 and changed the name to the Ghost Research Society, which is more indicative of what we actually do, ghost research. I've written 6 books on the subject, including Windy City Ghosts 1 and 2, Illuminating the Darkness, The Mystery of Spook Lights, A Field Guide to Ghost Hunting Techniques, A Field Guide to Spirit Photography, and A Field Guide to Haunted Highways and Bridges. I'm an instructor and teacher. I have taught courses, workshops, including an online course at International Metaphysical University, IMU, called Ghost Hunting Techniques. I'm a frequent guest at various conventions across the country. I've also been a guest on internet radio talk shows, numerous radio shows across the country, and a number of newspaper articles. I've traveled extensively across the United States and England, visiting England and Wales in 1985 and 1987, and have delved into the paranormal, investigating more than 4,000 cases in my almost 40 years of ghost research. I've investigated Bachelor's Grove quite a number of times, beginning as far back as 1982, right up to present time. It's my belief that Bachelor's Grove Cemetery may be the most haunted cemetery anywhere in the world. There are more phenomena going on there than any other location I've ever visited. Batchelor's Grove Cemetery, located in Midlothian, Illinois, along the Midlothian Turnpike, just east of Richland, across from Rubio Woods Forest Preserve, often conjures up images of the dark side of the paranormal. Sometimes images of apparitions, disembodied voices, phantom houses, disappearing cars, and many others. For all intents and purposes, however, the area known as Batchelor's Grove is a large wooded area which included a...
Okay, when I went to Batchelor's Grove with my friend Johnny, it's not a real big cemetery, but it revolves around a forest reserve. It has a cemetery filled with all different tombstones, and they're all broken up because people vandalized that because there was a lot of criminal activity going on. And when we went there, we saw actually a dog carcass with bones there. You could see it on my YouTube page at John Scoundrel. We saw the most spookiest atmosphere you can go to. It's just very dreary, and you can walk around the path, and they have the lake where the supposedly where the or the pond where supposedly the dumpsters dropped the gangsters dropped the bodies off. It's just very spooky, Batchelor's Grove Cemetery. It has a lot of different ghost activity where supposedly a man killed his wife there, a haunted car that drives by, and you see a girl sitting on a tombstone there, and it's just very spooky. Let's listen more.
Forest Preserve, north of 151st Street. It was occupied by a group of single men while perfecting their titles to tracts of land they purchased at $1.25 per acre. Each man possessed a 5-acre woodlot, which dates back to the early 1830s. The settlement at Batchelor's Grove began as early as the 1820s, with larger numbers of immigrants arriving in the 1830s and even the 1840s. The initial settlers were generally American Yankees of English, Irish, and Scottish descent. Most who came here from New York, Vermont, and Connecticut. The second wave of settlers arriving from Europe, primarily of Germanic origin, began in the late 1840s and became the predominant nationality for immigrants to the area for better than the next 50 years. Most of the stands of timber in the area assumed the name for one of the early families that settled near them. And
in Batchelor's Grove, they have a cemetery of a tombstone of a child, infant, and people usually give toys or coins there to kind of wish her good luck, you know, because it's just really a shame that they broke all those tombstones, because there's this one woman who tried to restore some of the tombstones, but you can never get back to its pristine shape. And when you walk down the path, it's a long, straight path down. It's like a long, straight path. You walk right. There's a closed sign on there. You can't drive through. You have to walk maybe like a mile over there. And you walk down this wooded area. It's just very spooky, but you know you're getting to this destination. You can feel the vibe of the area. It's very interesting.
Vicinity, Walker's Grove, Goodling's Grove, Cooper's Grove, Blackstone's Grove are just a few of the timberlands named after individuals or families. As with these other groves, it is believed that this settlement was named for the family name of the early settlers near the stand of timber. Members of the Batchelder family are known to have been living in the Rich Township by 1845. One of the largest landholders was John and Jane Fulton, who immigrated from their native Ireland in 1813. They arrived in the United States in 1839 and traveled to Bremen Township in 1844 by way of covered wagon. they purchased about 80 acres of land for the unheard-of cost of about $200 and devoted the rest of their lives to agricultural pursuits. John died in 1883 and his widow in 1897. They were the parents of 14 children, and a few descendants still survive today. According to the claims of Stephen H. Rexford, who settled in the Grove in 1833 or 1834, the settlement was named for a group of four single men, including himself, who settled there, and thus Bachelor's Grove.
We get back, we'll talk about this more and listen to more of the video. Be right back after this. Hi, everybody. Welcome to Jay's Dark Zone. Back. When I was talking about when we saw that dog skeleton, well, maybe someone, you know, did a sacrifice there or something, because, you know, there is talks about Satanism at that Bachelor's Grove. People go there and they do these rituals, you know, what they're doing over there. And when we went there with my friend John, we actually saw a guy there that was doing something very peculiar. He was doing practice or something. We saw him over there. And the one guy that was kind of, he was a ghost hunter. He was telling people about the area. He was telling me that, you know what, I don't think you should be messing around with this. He was a younger kid. You know, he had a skull hat on, a skull shirt. He was all doing these weird rituals. You know, we don't know what he was doing. It's just, you have to go there. If you live in Chicago or close to Chicago, head to Midland, Illinois, and take a look. You know, bring a couple of friends with. There's usually people that walk around. You can't go at night, though. You have to go in the morning, the sundown, that's when it's closed. But if you go there at night, the cops can arrest you because there's no trespassing at night. Let's listen to more of the video.
Ferdinand Schopper's 1917 manuscript provides similar citing, noting Williams and possibly one or more of the Bartons settled there to perfect their titles for government land, as they were all single men and kept Bachelor's Hall, the place better known as Bachelor's Grove. The site for the existing cemetery was said to have been set aside in 1864. However, the first evidence of private ownership of the land was in 1835. In 1864, Edward Everdeen sold his land to Frederick Schmidt, but set aside 1 acre of land to be used as a graveyard. It is uncertain how many people are actually buried in the cemetery because many of the tombstones are missing and historical records are sketchy at best. Located on what was then known as Bachelor's Grove Road, it sets back about a quarter of a mile off the Midlothian Turnpike. The old road used to go right past the cemetery while continuing all the way to around 150th and Harlem Avenue, where a log school, Bachelor's Grove School, once stood. When the new turnpike was built, the older road was closed down and dead-ended near the main gates of the cemetery. Today, the road is completely chained off and accesses only by walking the quarter mile through a darkened forest preserve. Some have asked the question of why Bachelor's Grove Cemetery was located so far off the beaten path, but the answer is obvious. It wasn't. Modern progress just passed it by. In the fall of 1976, a high school teacher from a nearby Bremen High School began a bicentennial project dedicated to the study and research of Bachelor's Grove Cemetery. During that time, a direct descendant, Charles Fulton, still survived and spoke of their Sunday visits to the cemetery, which was more like a park than a cemetery. The small lagoon served both as a fishing and swimming hole for youngsters. The cemetery is now under the supervision and responsibility of the cemetery trustees under the Real Estate Management Office of the Cook County Board. The Cook County Board was approached by the aged Clarence Fulton in the fall of 1975 to take charge and care of the maintenance of the old cemetery. Mr. Fulton had previously requested Bremen Township's assistance in caring for the cemetery in 1967 and had been turned down. Clarence Fulton indicated that there was a Bachelor's Grove Cemetery Association, but no official record appears to exist for that organization. In researching the history of the legal title to the cemetery at that time, it was determined the title probably still rested in the hands of the descendants of Edward M. Everdeen. But since no deed could be found for the cemetery itself, and subsequent deeds and property transfers, especially excluded the 1 acre cemetery. After clarifying the legal procedures, Cook County assumed responsibility for the cemetery in about 1976. Through intergovernmental agreements, maintenance of the cemetery is now shared with the Cook County Forest Preserve District, according to an unsubstantiated amount. The Chicago Archdiocese of the Catholic Church has also provided some maintenance for the cemetery from time to time on behalf of the county in the past years. Although now inactive, Bachelor's Grove Cemetery is one of the oldest cemeteries in South Cook County. Its legal location description is 1 acre in the east one half of the north one quarter of Section 8, Township 36 North, Range 13, east of the 3rd Principal Meridian, Bremen Township, Cook County, Illinois. Or more simply, it is right across the street from what is now Rubio Woods Forest Preserve on 143rd and Midlothian Turnpike, just east of Richland Avenue. The many ghost stories associated with Bachelor's Grove Cemetery probably began somewhere in the late 1950s. However, this area was well known to the gangsters of the 1920s and 1930s because it is alleged a number of bodies were found in the small lagoon bordering the cemetery, which were thought to be victims of mob and organized crime. Not only were bodies found, but illegal firearms were also discovered by police officials. In the 1960s and 1970s, the cemetery was a target of horrific grave desecration. Some graves were dug up to the wooden coffins, while others had the remains of deceased disturbed. There have been occasional desecration in modern times, with vandals digging around gravestones, toppling over markers, spray painting monuments. Every Halloween, police have their hands full trying to keep Halloween pranksters and vandals from further destroying this pioneer graveyard. In the mid-1960s, there was evidence of cult activity and animal remains found in the cemetery. Many believe a group of involved in satanic worship have been the culprit in these apparent animal sacrifices.
Told you guys about that. See, I actually saw a dog carcass. It was a all skeleton, and they do satanic rituals there. It's just a very creepy, you know, place to go to. You know, it's just really creepy. You have to be careful when you go there. But when we went there, went early. It's just people who go and record videos and photos, and they try to get stuff to you on camera. I actually had an EVP, but I don't have it anymore. I had it on the old computer, but I lost it. But it's a good place to go do ghost hunting too. You know, but just be alert. You know, here we go.
There have been numerous people that have claimed to have actually had encounters with these robed figures many times, carrying candles, and sometimes in the process of killing animals in the cemetery in the mid-1960s, sometimes in and around so-called witches' sabbats. This may be several of the reasons why this cemetery is so very haunted today. It's a combination of the grave desecration, satanic worship, and the bodies that have been unceremoniously dumped out there throughout the years, add to the fact that many of those early pioneers have faded largely out of existence and are now almost forgotten. One of the very first ghost stories that began circulating amongst the tombstones was glowing blue balls of light. It seemed to play some form of intelligent control. They even eluded pursuit and were chased on a number of times by a Joliet man named Jack Hermansky in the early 1970s. The light, he claimed, was about the size of a baseball and floated through the cemetery just out of his reach. He reported that the ghost blinked at 15 to 20 second intervals, and just when he thought he had overtaken it, the light disappeared and reappeared behind him. And so he chased the light over and over again throughout the nights while he observed it. In December of 1971, Denise Travers claimed that she was able to pass her hand right through one of these lights at a very close encounter. She felt no heat, no cold, no sensation at all. It was like putting her hand into a void. Skeptics say that the lights are nothing more than methane gas given off by decomposing bodies. However, most of those bodies had been crumbled to ash long ago. The blue lights have not been seen since the latter 1970s. However, a new light has been reported with increasing frequency, zooming up and down the main trail leading to the cemetery's entrance. This light has been described as almost a skyrocket effect, and is never stationary, but is constantly moving. In 1987, Ted Visnick from the South Side of Chicago spoke of an experience with a blue light during a WLS television broadcast in Chicago. He spoke of himself and his associates all witnessing a deep blue light over the old Midlothian Turnpike south of the cemetery. They first saw it on the western end of the road, adjacent to the southwest corner of the fence of the cemetery. It then proceeded to go up and down the path and came near the main entrance to the cemetery on the south end. While he was standing near the main entrance, he thought somebody pushed me because I went flying. I got knocked down, you know, on my face, unquote. It is unclear as to the exact year the sighting took place, but is believed it had been sometime in the early 1970s, most likely 1973. During what may have been the peak of the blue light sightings occurring through the 1970s, the late Richard Crow conducted an interview with police officers from the Cook County Sheriff's Police Department, who also have claimed to have witnessed the blue light phenomena. Occasionally, the police themselves are questioned as being the source of the light due to the rotating lights on top of their car. The problem is that the department patrolling the area are said to have only been issued red lights during the 1970s, but further research is required. Witnessing the blue light had reportedly gone into a decline around the late 1970s, but it's still unclear as to when the phenomenon was first reported. Reports of the blue light continue to this day, but are very rare and contain very few details, and the encounter is usually being very brief. One of the most fascinating ghost sightings is that of the Phantom House that appears along the main trail and on both sides of the main trail leading into the cemetery. Witnesses always describe the house in the same fashion. instead of being a white wooden house with white wooden pillars, a porch swing, and even a light burning dimly in one window. The unusual thing about the house is that as you attempt to walk toward it and get closer to it, it appears to get smaller and smaller, shrinking back into the woods until it suddenly disappears altogether. The house is never reported in the same place twice. It's been seen near the turnpike, along the dirt trail, and even within the cemetery itself. Arlene McComb saw the house with a group of friends in 1975 and watched as the house began to shrink in size until it was entirely gone from view. Grace Norton saw the Phantom House in the winter of 1966 and 1967, while another witness, Marianne Kerbs, witnessed the ghostly abode also in 1966.
Hello, viewers. Edward Shanahan. I was running around in Bachelor's Grove probably back in 1976. After hearing Mr. Richard Kroll talk about Bachelor's Grove, the late Mr. Kroll was basically the only ghost expert in the Chicagoland area. We would look here on mine. He had a short show at night. And it was good listening. He talked about the whole southwest suburbs and haunting some of the Chicagoland area places. He was the first and the expert.
We're heading out there now, taking a look at it. There's two dry wells that we know and a former foundation. Now,
okay, that's it for tonight, folks. I hope you had a good time, and tune in next time for another Jay's Dark Zone.